Hello, friend. Thanks for tuning in. Carm Capriotto here. Now, I hope you are safe and well. Disturbing news coming out of my county as more young people in their 20s and 30s are being tested positive for the virus. Hey, please do all you can to prevent and protect. Yeah, I caught up with Jeff Berman at the ASA Colorado Summit in January 2020. Now, that was pre-COVID. Oh, the memories of being out there in the field with my peers. Jeff is an aftermarket veteran and coach who has impacted a lot of lives simply by being effective in communicating with the younger generation. He explains what the real issue is about the tech shortage. Hey, I just finished reading the recent Apex 2020 blog by Bill Hanvey, president and CEO of the Auto Care Association. It's titled, We Are All Essential, The Powers of Being Together. He makes several good points, but I especially like this one. He says, let's not get through this together. Let's make the most of it by supporting one another in every way we can. You can read Bill's blog on the Apex website, AAPEXshow.com, under Trends and Resources. Hey, before we jump into this talk with Jeff Berman, I want to share with you the power of Shopware. Stop spending time chasing customers. Shopware's leading shop management system is helping shops like yours generate more profit per ticket with less time on the phone. Break away from your legacy system and implement a completely contactless workflow today. Get started at getshopware.com/carm. Hey, here's a taste of my talk with Jeff Berman.
I think finding and hiring the best people is tough now, but it's just going to get so difficult in the next 10 years.
Hey, just a minute more with Jeff Berman, a coach at ATI. Hey, did you know that along with my friend Tom Hamm, we've started a weekly aftermarket magazine show? Go to aftermarketweekly.com and watch the first 8 episodes. Tell me what you think. You now have a weekly magazine video covering topics that are intended to spark your thoughts and create change. A big feature is a live shop tour each week. How cool is that? We broadcast every Tuesday at noon Eastern. Please join us. Hey, another thing hot off the press, and it actually came to me today. Apex has just announced 3 top awards for Shop Owner of the Year, Technician of the Year, and Service Advisor of the Year. The applications are at aapexshow.com/service awards. Nominations end July 31st, 2020. Now, here's Jeff Berman, a veteran coach. He says his approach is subtle and direct, patient, and humble. He pours his heart and passion in everything he does, and that's why he has a lot of positive feedback. We get into a nice discussion on succession planning and his take on it. Listen further and understand why you need to replace yourself in the business first in order to have a successful succession. You can find an audio player and the talking points for this episode with Jeff Berman and his coaching expertise at remarkableresults.biz/E550. Hey, a warm welcome to Jeff Berman, coach and instructor at ATI. Hello, Jeff.
How you doing, Carl?
Good. Hey, we're here at ASA Colorado Summit 2020. It is at the end of the day, and I know I have a secret. My secret is that Jeff's been talking and teaching a class all day, and he committed to do this. He's exhausted. He's more tired than I am. And in the background, you're going to hear they're giving all these fabulous, unbelievable grand prizes. So you're going to hear crazy stuff in the background because we don't have a really enclosed studio. We're here at the lobby of Lincoln Tech, a beautiful, beautiful school. But anyway, thanks for coming here. Your class was on what today?
As simply put, it was employee engagement.
Employee engagement. I stopped in a couple of times. You had the class eating out of your hand. There was no doubt that, you know, and in fact, I went in at 4 o'clock and I was waiting to see how many sleepers were there, and you didn't have any.
Yeah, well, that's because we poke them. we got special stuff that we do to keep them awake.
That's a secret. I love it. I asked this to another instructor earlier today. I said, what did you see? What kind of glimmer in the eyes did you see, you know, of your students? And what do you think they really took away?
Well, I read the feedback forms when we were done. I probably shouldn't have done that, I'm recognition dependent, so it was easy for me to do. The comments were things like, you know, this is the only class I was able to stay awake in, or, wow, you know, man, this ATI in true fashion, you always bring what, you know, yeah. It was just really, it's, you know, again, I'm recognition dependent. So when I'm reading these things all day, especially after the first session, it was like, oh, wow, we're going to bring it the second session for sure. It was fantastic. The feedback at lunch, they just wouldn't stop talking about it.
The afternoon different
same,
than the first?
Same session.
Oh, it was identical. You just moved. Oh, same session.
So different people, but the same presentation.
Okay, great. All right. Because I thought you had a continuation. What are the issues that you as a coach are working so intently with your customers to overcome of late?
Well, let me tell you what I told them today that I think their biggest problem is. As an industry, I think our biggest problem is staff. I think finding and hiring the best people is tough now, but it's just going to get so difficult in the next 10 years. Shops are going to go out of business because they can't find people. It's already happening. And if they don't get smart about that and learn how to communicate properly with the younger generations, the millennials and the Gen Zs, they're going out of business at the end. So what's their biggest problem? Their ego. Plain and simple, it's their ego.
Well, you and 30 or 40 other people in the last 2 months have discussed this topic here and about getting it put on the shelf, facing your fears and telling people that your secret sauce is that you're dying on the vine. You can't pay your bills. You can't even make payroll and get out and get a coach. Believe you me, I gave my keynote today, the 9 top strategies of the top service professionals that I learned from the first 700 episodes, right? And I said, I'm not here as a business coach. I'm just here to tell you what they're telling me. And the 10th bonus strategy is you got to get a coach. Okay. Who did I interview recently that's, oh, I remember. He says, I got a coach within my first year and I was crazy. And it was ATI. He says, I hired ATI my first year. I did this interview yesterday. It'll come out. My listeners will hear this. And they say, there was no way I could afford it, but I had it paid in 6 months. And I still didn't listen to my coach.
Yeah, can you believe that?
He says, I didn't listen to my coach. It was 3 years in and I finally listened to him. And oh my God, now we have, you know, $6 million in all these stores and all that stuff. And ATI got a ton of credit for that. But it was people finally facing what they need to do to be a really good CEO of their business.
It's just taking a moment and stop saying I can or I won't.
Yeah.
And just asking yourself how you can. Yeah. That's really all it is. And that's ego.
I saw your teaching style today. It's very emotional. You're very, you're animated. You're looking in the face of your people. You're engaging them. Is that just who you are? Are you built like that?
It's not an act.
Good. That's a good answer.
And I think that is why it's so effective, because it is coming from the heart. You know, I'm hard on them because I love them. It's really just that simple. I told him that today. It's like, you know what? You're going to hear some things you're not going to like. Too bad. You need to hear it. And I think they really respect that.
When you're watching your students react to what you're teaching and they're writing, do you recognize that as maybe a pain point?
Does it bother me when they don't take notes? Absolutely.
That's the right question then. Thank you.
I would say, you know, the way I've overcome that, and I probably should listen to my own advice because I didn't do it here, but in the classroom, I tell them all there's a test at the end of the day. And the only way to pass is to take good notes. And by doing so, they usually succeed. And I use that as an example of how you have to set clear expectations and what happens when you do and yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah.
So it works well in the classroom. I had 3 hours here, so
yeah.
I didn't do it.
So how did you become a coach?
Wow. Now that's a story. And it's a great story.
Now, you were a shop owner for how many years?
I wasn't actually an owner. I worked for the family business.
Okay. Oh, okay.
They owned it.
All right.
And it starts with my grandfather. Years ago, he owned a Flying A gas station in 1949. I don't know how old your listeners are, but most of them probably don't know what that is. They'll have to Google it.
Look it up.
Right. He started in 49, and over the years, you know, his sons took over, and he retired. Uh-huh. And when I was I guess I was probably 18, they recruited me into the business and asked me to become a part of it, thinking, okay, family business, next generation, we're getting older, you know, the whole deal. And as we grew, we opened a body shop, we opened a car a lot of time, we were just an auto mechanic shop. And over the years as we grew, they realized change needed to happen. It was clear. But they didn't want to do it. They wanted me to do it. So they sent me off to classes. They sent me to a school called the Business Development Group. It was run by a guy by the name of Scott Biggs, and it was for auto body. And it was in California. So I went from the East Coast to the West Coast to learn all this stuff. I'd come back, and we'd talk about Kaizen, and we'd talk about throughput and how we have to change our process and all that. And as soon as I did, you know what they said to me?
Don't.
Oh, you can't do that.
No, you can't do
that. That's not going to work.
Right. Don't implement.
Yeah. So what happened was, instead of us coming closer together and working towards a solution and making this thing better, we became further and further apart.
And you're sitting on the sideline saying, ooh, 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 we got to do this. This would be fabulous. Do you know how many second and third generations are sitting, listening to this saying, oh my God, he's talking to me.
Oh God, I'm sure. This can't be a unique story, I'm sure. So as we became further and further apart, instead of this carrot that's hung in front of me, one day this will be yours, and me realizing, what do I want this piece of crap for, right? We just decided we got to part ways.
Now, why would I want this and have to start from scratch?
So the family business is no longer in my future at that point. And the story as it goes is I replied to an ad in the newspaper that following week that said, because I decided I'm done with shops. I had all these people wanting me to come run the shop. I said, nope, I'm done. And so I replied to this ad. It said, body shop managers wanted. Send resume to John E. And it gave a fax number. That's it. And I said to myself, what the heck is this? I was so curious about it, I had to respond. So I did. And the next morning he called. It was ATI. I walked in there and I literally, the truth, karma, this is the absolute truth. I walked in there and after the interview, I was more confused about what I was going to do than when I got there.
Why?
Because I thought to myself, what is this place? We were much smaller than we were before. And it was just not, you know, it was not the coaching company that it is now. And I come from a real dysfunctional background here. Who am I to give advice to anybody, right? How do I qualify for this? So anyway, long story short, I took the job not knowing what I was going to get into. And the beauty of it is, as soon as I sat in those classrooms, and then I was given some clients to talk to, it didn't take more than 30 days. And I realized that all the things that I was trying to do in the business that my uncles ran, I got to do here and impact so many more lives than just that one company. And at that point, it was a marriage forever.
It's a great story. Hey, today's pandemic is causing so much stress and uncertainty for everyone right now, especially shop owners. Now, how do I make sure that my staff and my customers stay protected while still moving cars through the bays? Contactless service is our new normal, and having a shop management system that not only supports this, but actually helps your business thrive through it all is key. Shopware's digital workflow with remote pay will provide that solution for you. Amy Matinet from Auto Craftsman recently commented on social media, and I quote, "I can't even express how grateful I am that I jumped on board with Shopware on January 1st. Would have never guessed that I would be the only one writing service at my shop, as I haven't worked in the shop for the last 15 years. But she goes on and says, I'm running my shop nonstop every day with Shopware to help me not only get the job done easier and faster, but am totally wowing my customers." End quote. Hey, if you want to wow your customers too, request a demo at getshopware.com. Hey, this year Apex will be more of an aftermarket homecoming celebration than ever before. Not only will it have all kinds of exciting new things waiting for you, but most importantly, Apex 2020 will be where industry colleagues, friends, and family reunite after this time apart, and together it will drive the industry forward. I know I'm looking forward to it more than I ever have because I get to see all of you. Until we get there, keep yourselves and your families and your businesses healthy and safe. Now, there's no place like home, and we can't wait to welcome you home in November at Apex 2020. The power of being there, November 3rd through the 5th at the Sands Expo and Caesars Forum Conference Center in Las Vegas. Register now at aapexshow.com. How many shop owners do you think you've had a chance to affect their lives in the last, how long, 20 years?
Just over 16 years.
16 years?
At ATI.
Yeah. Just how many? 1,000?
Well, as a coach, it's less because you only have a finite number of coaches or clients that you talk to on a regular basis. And they come and go. But it, you know, once you have established stable, it's not that much of a rotation.
Okay.
From then I'd started, you know, I wrote some articles for Motor Age and, you know, and then I got myself to get a chance to get in the classroom, and I teach a lot of classes now. And, you know, I created a podcast, and all these things are helping me reach out to people in a much broader way. And each time I did, I thought to myself, I get a chance to help more people. And as a result, you know, to answer that question, it's thousands. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's thousands.
Because no matter how many clients you have, you're still helping, you know, you're feeding all those mouths out there.
It's a great feeling too. I mean, I can see it as they change. There's no, you know, it only takes one win to keep you coming back. It's incredible.
Let's talk about the relationship of a coach and a shop owner and your frustrations where they just don't want to implement the advice that you're giving them. How do you either, you drill a hole, put the funnel, you know, how do you make that happen? What does it take?
It takes a lot of patience, a lot of looking past your own ego.
Your ego.
Yeah, me, yeah. As a coach. Yeah. I got to look past my own ego.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you? Why don't you do what I told you? You know, that's their problem. That's their ego. I can't be the same. I have to be more forgiving. I can't judge that. And that has been very humbling for me over these years. I wasn't that guy.
You had to tone down a little bit. Is that what you're saying?
A ton. And yeah. I'm still terrible at it.
I can't help but think, if your ego wasn't that strong, would you still be with the family business?
I don't know.
I know that's a wild question.
That's a good question.
That's a wild question. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, when you got a lot of egos in the room, you know, at some point, something
WWF,
has to
WWF, baby.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Wow, cool. Helping clients, husband and wife, are they great combinations to work with?
Sometimes.
Well, I mean, you are being politically correct.
Can you imagine working and living with your spouse like pretty much all day, every day? I love my wife, but I'd want to kill myself.
Well, you know, some of them have some really cool ideas. And in fact, I can't remember who exactly it was, or maybe I do, and I don't want to mention their name. They said, we work together, and he says, and there's these railroad tracks that we cross when we go home, both in the office, you know, both ways.
You turn a switch.
And that's the switch that they use.
The ones that, when I say sometimes, the ones that are successful at it really have good strategies to do that. It's tough. The big part of what you're asking is so many shops are family businesses.
Yeah.
It's a big, big part of what we do when we coach.
Okay.
We end up being counselors as well as coaches.
I heard someone say here that in the next 10 years, you're either a buyer or a seller. I moderated a panel at Apex about 2030. We've done so many shows on succession planning. Are you finding a purpose in the coaching realm when you see a 55 or 60 year old client? Are you trying to prepare the role that is necessary for succession, be it generational succession, an internal candidate succession, or selling to an outside candidate? Is there a lot of buzz about that?
Well, we have a class at ATI strictly for succession.
Okay.
It's a 3-day class. And if you're a client and you're at a point where you're seeing that as important, and at that age, I would think it would be, then as a coach, I'm going to inspire you as much as I can to get into that class. That's a big part of it. Most shop owners don't think their shop is worth what it really is.
Wait a minute. This 3-bay shop, I can sell for $1 million.
Yeah. Good luck with you.
Yeah.
Or to you.
I know. Yeah, and everybody I've ever interviewed who sat in that chair, who was a coach or had been around the horn, had the same reaction. Yeah, and I keep asking that question because I want to be able to rock the world of my listener, to let them realize that you have some false dreams. And there's a process to get that million if you want it. if you deserve it, and there's a process to get.
Well, the biggest problem, there's a couple, but you know, the first problem is that they have this illusion that it's worth more because, well, I got all this equipment, I got all these customers, you got nothing. You got nothing. Unless you own the real estate, then maybe you got something. But beyond that, you got nothing. That being said, if you have a business where you are an intricate part of the business, meaning you write the service, you're a technician, you're doing something like that, now you really have nothing because all you have to sell is a job.
Yep.
Who the heck wants to buy a job?
Yeah, no one wants that.
You got to get outside. So in the succession training, if that's what we're really talking about, my real job as a coach is to get them to replace themselves in the business first.
Right.
Now I have something that's valuable. Now I have something that's sellable.
So you get them to get up top of the business and to do their role as a CEO and let that business run without them. Now there may be a little blue sky, just a little bit, depending on how good and strong that the EBITDA is. And hell, type in EBITDA in my website and you'll see a bunch of episodes that we talk about that. We're not doing a financial show here. We're talking theories but you're right. I remember turn off all the lights. I went, unlocked the place, and I started to take inventory of all my equipment and all my inventory and my parts and all the stuff that I purchased. And wow, I got $450,000 worth of equipment. And you know, my customer list has got to be worth $300,000 in there. And they're pushing their bubble to the $1 million mark. And
it's worth $20,000.
Yeah.
Maybe, if you can sell it.
And so, don't mention any names. Take me to a discussion you're having with a client who's realizing this for the first time. What do they say? What goes through their mind?
Oh, it's hard. I mean, that's a real humbling moment for a lot of them. And sometimes it's really sad because they're 70 years old and they've been doing this their whole lives and they got nothing left at the end.
It's sad, man.
It's real sad.
It's sad. We got so many great, great people in our industry that have busted their ass for so long and they just missed the mark maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago and didn't pay attention and didn't do what was right. I mean, the whole industry has been talking about the value and the quality of coaching forever and eons. Listen, there's a lot of great coaching companies. You got tons of clients. I mean, there's success story after success story after success story, but there's that top 20%. What about the rest? What are they doing? And can that top 20% buy the rest? Probably not. I don't think there's enough money to do all of that. So the message that we continue to proclaim on this show is to, you know, to get smart, be a perpetual student, to hire yourself a business coach because you can't afford not to have one, and to go to training and to run a business with great culture. I mean, didn't you talk a lot about culture today?
Well, engagement, class? Really, culture, engagement, they kind of go hand in hand, yeah.
You know, to develop and build a better business. So you had mentioned here just a few minutes ago, your podcast. So tell me, you do podcasts for, is it ATI or just for you?
Well, it's the ATI podcast.
Okay,
but
cool.
It's Berman's thing.
It's Berman's thing.
It's my little pet project.
All right, great.
It was created by me and it's my love affair. And it disappoints me because I don't find the time to do it as much as I'd like. And if anybody's listening that does listen, they know what I'm talking about. If they've seen me, it's just like, when's the next podcast? Oh, I'm so sorry. I just, you know, I'll get it out. And it's really, it sucks. But that being said, I love doing it. The interviews are fantastic. Yeah. Shop owners in general, as a whole, they're just such good people. Mm-hmm. And when you sit down and talk with them and you can get in their soul a little bit and have them look you in the eye and tell you something and it touches them and you start to cry and they're just awesome people. Yeah. And that part of what I do is really what drives me, whether it's on a podcast, on a coaching call, in a classroom, it's all the same.
Well, you're sitting across from somebody that can absolutely share 100% that empathy you have about the love of what I do, what you do when you interview people. And, you know, I interview coaches and shop owners and you name it. And out of 700 of them we've interviewed, you know, I keep thinking about, is there a topic I haven't covered yet? And what should I recycle from 5 years ago? Because it's different. Trends change and stuff. I have the empathy of what it takes. People think, oh my God, we're talking to a microphone, press another button and it goes up and on the air. Well, that's just not the case. In fact, I don't want to get into the detail, but Jeff and I off mic earlier were saying how many hours he spends on editing his show. And you know what? So do we at our end, you know, and my daughter and, you know, I have a virtual assistant and, you know, we've got a team to put out four shows and to do it the way we do it.
I have a team
high quality.
Too.
Yeah.
It's a team of one.
Yeah. Well, I can really relate to what it takes to, you know, to have 10 episodes in the can and wanting to get them up and out for the world to listen to because, you know, you wouldn't have done them if you didn't think there was value there.
It's fun.
So good for you.
Yeah.
You have a role at Super Conference this year?
Actually, last year was the first year that I was not doing a roundtable, which I was glad, but also shocked, you know, they don't want me to do a roundtable this year, but it was also the same year that we had shop owners doing their own roundtable.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it really went over well. Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. And we're doing that again this year. And I will have a roundtable this time. I'm doing a really cool topic. Can I talk about that?
Please.
You know, sometimes you just think, you know, what would be different? What would be new? So I decided I'm going to do a topic. We're going to talk about storytelling and how storytelling impacts people's thoughts and how that can work in leadership as well as in sales.
I love it.
It's going to be fantastic.
I love, now that's a way out of the box thing. And I do a lot of, moderate a lot of panels and they're typically, you know, the hard charging girder style topics that, you know, the industry people pick them. I go and do them. Right.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, someone says, hey, what would you like to talk about? And every once in a while, I get it, but that's really thinking outside the box. I love that.
Hey, well, we'll try it. It'll fail or it'll be great. One or the other.
Do you know I'm coming to Super Conference?
I did not. You are.
I am.
Maybe I could interview for my podcast at the Super Conference.
I know. Maybe. Just maybe. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. Jeff Berman, coach, instructor, ATI. You were extremely transparent, very giving. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.